Log Talk Radio.
Daylight come and me want go.
And there you go. Smell that fresh air, the last of this year's, for a couple of days we have left anyway. Tonight, I decided to talk New Year's resolutions, and it's more or less New Year's resolutions that, you know, that you want your teams to have. Here's maybe... At the top of my head, I got to think of a couple. Okay, for the Argos. Scott Milanovic. His New Year's resolution is going to be, I hope to throw the flag more this year. I seem to not throw it so much last year, and maybe I needed to. Montreal Alouettes. Start with the right coach at the beginning of the year. Not wait till it's too late. For Hamilton, our New Year's resolution is to ensure that our quarterback and coach work well together again, but in a more coexisting manner. The Ottawa Redblacks. What can we say about the Ottawa Redblacks? All things old or new again? No, that's overly used. Oh, I got it. No, I don't. Ottawa Redblacks. Their New Year's resolution is to put a team on the field this year. That's what their coach's New Year's resolution will be. Campbell's resolution, that's what it'll be. In the Western Division, and this really is off the top of my head because I hate writing things down. Actually, I write a lot of stuff down. But this stuff, you know, there's no right answer, there's no wrong answer. So let's start with Winnipeg. Winnipeg, former special teams coach. His New Year's resolution is going to be, I'm going to learn about patience. I'm going to make sure that when anything goes wrong, I'm going to find the solution. God bless teamwork. For the Saskatchewan Roughriders, New Year's resolution. Oh, here's one. That our team and our fans are... Never mind. The Edmonton Eskimos. This one's for Chris Jones. I hope to find the patience and warm, loyal gestures that my team of players will appreciate. For the Calgary Stampeders, I'm going to do the laundry. I'm going to have the guys do the laundry more often because something stinks around here. Don't know what it is. Got to find out. Because it seems every year, we're a fave, and then we're gone. I guess that leaves the BC Lions. New Year's resolution. Keep repeating history. Grey Cup winners. Home team. That's it for me. Thanks for tuning us in, and we'll see you again or hear you again on Friday. We hope you enjoyed the show.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat! Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
Seal 2.
Chad Owens, favorite player ever.
He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA.
From the gridiron to the octagon.
He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup. He's a family man.
Team player. Dedication to the match.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning.
1, 2, 3.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Woo. Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank! There you go, Frank. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, sis.
So as I said, that's the subject tonight. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions for the teams. I gave mine for the coaches and the 9 teams that are still in the league. And joining us now, the proud backer and fan of Canadian junior hockey, John Granger.
Hey, hey, hey. What's up? How you doing, Frank?
Good. It's like old times. It's just me and you.
Yes. Oh, is that okay? Just me and you, Frank? Back to the old days?
Back to the olden days, yeah.
Oh, let me
I got to give a shout-out to Randy Christinger. Yeah, he's
Randy.
Randy Christinger, Argo lifer, man about town when it comes to stadiums and making them pretty. And even I Never Win Stadium, he did that as well. And so, you know, he gets around.
Hey, Ivor Wynn, you know, even the enemy stadiums he works at, and you know, we won't hold that against him. He's got to make
not
living.
At all.
Because he's a very passionate guy who loves what he does, and it shows in the product that he puts out. So if he's got to go put it out in another stadium, it's all good. It just means that they need him, and they want him, and he's doing a great job. So, yeah, way to go, Wolfpack and Randy Christinger. Great job, guys.
Thanks, Randy. And also, if you don't know who he is, all you have to do is watch, for sure anyway, an Argo game. And as soon as the guys go running into the signage off the sideline.
You've seen him. Yeah, you've seen him. If you don't know who he is, you've seen him. You know what he looks like. You can't miss him.
Oh, that's Randy. he probably gets more FaceTime than he definitely gets more FaceTime than we do.
Oh, no doubt. Well,
right?
You know, they might not even see him, Frank, because those guys are so quick and so good that when the, you know, advertisements get knocked over or you know, might get dislodged, they're at it so fast that you don't even know that it's down. So maybe perhaps you don't even see him because they're so fast.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so they, like, as soon as the thing hits the ground, it comes back up again.
That's right. Woof, woof back.
And all you see is a little steam, you know, a little smoke trail.
Yeah, like on Roadrunner.
Beep, beep. Yes. And he's gone. Gone like Gonzo. Yeah, so you have any New Year's resolutions that you would like to, you know, impart on our listener? I mean, listeners?
You know, I'm not into those too much. Why at the new year? I kind of, I'm a monthly kind of guy. You know, I kind of set something and let's see if we can go after.
You're always ragging?
Yeah, yeah.
You're always ragging? Always
I'm
complaining?
Trying. No, not complaining. What are you talking about? What? Resolutions are about complaints? I don't know about that, Frank. I don't know.
Listen, when I look in the mirror and I see a fat old, anyway, I want it to be not fat and younger. Yeah, that's a complaint. And when I work towards the opposite of fat, which I am, yes, it's a complaint.
You know what, Frank?
Quit smoking,
as long as you're
it's
happy,
a complaint.
It's, as long
quit
as you're
smoking,
happy.
Quit smoking, it's a complaint.
Fat
happy.
Is such an ugly word, okay? It's an ugly word, okay?
Smoking?
And it's another F word that maybe shouldn't
oh,
be
fat,
used as
fat.
Much. Yes, so, and I don't think you're talking about fat as in pH fat. I don't even know what
no,
the hell I meant
about
by
pH
that.
Fat.
No, but...
I am too fat. I'm too cool for my... I'm too cool for school. Because
okay.
I'm too fat.
Okay. Well, what was the question? Because we're drifting off?
I don't even call it drifting off. We went through the Bermuda Triangle, I think.
a little bit.
No, you know...
Back to the old days! Yay! Hello? You there? Sorry,
yeah,
go
I'm
ahead.
Here.
All right, good.
Yeah, I'm here.
Testing.
Now, the audio's working. Those days, you'd almost think that Blog Talk Radio just started when we did.
Oh.
By virtue
you know,
of the way...
You know, for the listeners out there, you know, we talk about this once in a while, and I say we because it was just us there. So there's nobody else we can throw in. At the rough stages, okay, when we had to go through our molding, as you can call it, right? We were molding on the show, or... as you molded it into, Frank, to what it is now. There were some bumps in the road. And
some
you know,
would suggest
the
show's very moldy.
Oh, we're back to the old days. Yay. The cheesy jokes are coming out. Oh and folks,
cheesy, mold, cheesy,
oh.
Mold. Was that like blue cheese?
we're rolling. Cheese,
you're rolling
roll,
even you don't
get,
want to.
Oh, let's keep going, Frank.
Okay.
Resolutions. Are we going back to that?
Yeah.
Or maybe we should just keep going with the cheap, cracky jokes, right?
You can do both.
Okay, let's try to do both. You know what? What's the difference? Everything's cheesy and crappy and all that stuff. I'm going to just say this. As far as the CFL goes and one particular team, my team, my Argos, my true beloved Argos, I just want the damn sale to get over and done with so we can move on, okay? Enough about, you know, we're discussing with a bunch of partners or we're discussing with a certain region of Toronto that might be interested. Let's get it done. We know there's only one interested buyer that is probably the best suitor, and that's MLSC at this point because nobody else is walking up with any stadium proposals, suggestions. But the clincher, as we have spoken about before, Frank, is the training facility, okay? They, you know, that to me was the clincher when they toured it and they discussed it and then they came out with the press conference about, you know, possibly looking at going to BMO. It all makes sense, and I just want that thing to get done. Just get it done, okay? Enough talk. I'm hoping that they do it sooner than later. You know, there's only enough, let's put it this way, news opportunities in a day or in a week or in a month or in a season where it's the right time, where it's, you know what I mean, Frank, where it's dead, where you don't have Blue Jay talk, spring training going on, where you don't have playoffs, NHL playoffs going on. You know, we got the NFL playoffs right now, which are the heat of the conversation, and then you're going to have NBA playoffs. So you got to find a window of where you want to make this as the talk of the town and to make the announcement. And so, you know, we're looking at the best opportunities for that. Or they just might want to throw it right in the mix and kind of a screw up another big press conference that they can have and a lot of attention on themselves. We'll see how they play that out. But again, let's get her done for once and for all, you know. He said he's going to put them out for sale. He's put them out for sale. They said they want to look for a stadium. They're looking for one. They talked to a buyer that has one, and the buyer wants to modify it so it could work for the CFL and the MLSL. And so why not go with it? Let's get it done. That's my hopeful resolution for the Toronto Argonauts. Is that good enough for you? And as the old days, we lost Frank, folks. Maybe you lost me. I'm not sure. Perhaps we're still on the air. Perhaps we're not. But Frank will let me know as soon as he gets
actually,
me back. Right, Frank?
Actually, John, sorry. I wasn't paying attention to that conference you just had. I was watching the Tiddlywinks Championships of Brampton.
Oh.
And they're – wait, hang on. Yeah, no, you know, there's – you're right. There's moments you can tell stories and you can break – news. The Leafs are doing that with Phaneuf right now. They're waiting for the big game, you know, Michigan's home football field to brag on about the extremely extravagant contract they're giving Dion Phaneuf. So, yeah,
well,
there's always a time
jerseys.
And a place.
Hmm? Yeah, he's selling enough jerseys to supplement his increase in pay, you know.
Well, I just happen to think that if they pay him what I hear they're paying him, it's over. They're overpaying.
Look, the majority of the Leafs, we're not going to get into NHL talk, but the majority of the Leaf guys that we call the marquee players, we kind of see that it seems like after a while they all seem like they're getting overpaid. You know, they're doing their part.
I say, John, I just, my basis for him being overpaid is I look at what Chara earns. I look at what, you know, Carlson and Subban. And these are all guys that have accomplished things in their lives. As defensemen. Chara, best defenseman in the league, won the Stanley Cup. Carlson, best defenseman in the league, didn't win a Stanley Cup. Subban, best defenseman in the league. And, you know, I just don't see, in sports, it's funny, you know, it really is funny that in some cities, and Toronto's one of them when it comes to hockey, not football, because, you know, there's not that much money to throw around, but, you know, they pay players. They pay the best defenseman equal to what the best defenseman in the league gets, almost to suggest that, you know, that's a fair, you know, gauge on what he should earn. They're going to give him $7 million, and he's not worth more than $5 million. But, you know, at the end of the day, part of the reason why I love the CFL so much isn't because the contracts aren't that big. It's just it's the only Canadian league left that's professional, that Canadian cities participate in, and I include even the NFL in that. And, of course, all the other leagues like the NBA and the NHL that have Canadian, one NBA has one, you know, the Raptors, and the NHL has seven. The NHL is no longer a league for Canadians, not for Canadian teams. It's a league for Canadians to watch. Not be a part of. When the playoffs come, we'll see again another playoff year where Canadian teams not only don't have a chance to win the cup, they don't even have a chance to make it past the second round. So, or the first round in most cases. So, you know, that's why I love the CFL. And if you're a person who loves being Canadian and takes pride in being Canadian, and wants to enjoy a game that gives Canadian fans a chance to compete against each other. As much as the Argos aren't a direct reflection of the size of the city, in other words, Toronto isn't as good a team as it is a big city. People make fun of it. People are almost insulted by the fact that the Toronto fans don't care about the CFL as much as they should. I find it still very enjoyable to have Edmonton come in here and play against Toronto, and I have it enjoy. I enjoyed watching Saskatchewan win the Grey Cup against Hamilton, and to me, that's Canadian. Watching, Chicago beat Detroit in a semifinal, and watch Boston, beat who did they beat at the end? Pittsburgh? I don't know. I don't remember exactly. I find it far more enjoyable, and I find it more personally satisfying watching Canadian teams battle it out for the oldest trophy in the world. So my New Year's resolution is that Canadians wake up and realize the Canadian Football League is better and more important than you think. A few years ago, lacrosse they had top billing as far as Canadian national sport is concerned. It's now shared with hockey. I think we should put the Canadian Football League up there with them, because I happen to think that the Canadian Football League is as Canadian as anything. And the fact that we have imports in our league is just a typical Canadian thing. We in Canada welcome people into our country with open arms. Once we welcome them in, we treat them as equals, if not sometimes even better, which, you know, coincides with the CFL. You know, it's just a bit of a joke on the fact Americans probably make more money than Canadians, at least some. But that's not. There's no resentment in me saying that. I'm just saying that we're more than willing. We're more than willing to bring in American people here, American players, and treat them like they're our friends and neighbors and a part of our family. Where the reverse is not true with the National Hockey League and hockey, where we are second-class citizens in Canada in the National Hockey League. Again, that's not an insult to the Americans. It's just a point of fact that I lay out there, that as Canadian sports fans, we can root for our team and actually have something to root about. Take a look at the standings in the National Hockey League. If you're in Calgary, if you live in Calgary, are you proud of being the second-last team in the league? Or how about Edmonton? The last team, well, I think, I don't know, they're having a battle to see who's worse, Edmonton or Calgary. You know, Winnipeg, they're tired of hockey now. They've become tired of the National Hockey League. Because, why? Because the National Hockey League is more preoccupied with small market teams winning in the U.S. and big city teams winning the Stanley Cup, because that's what they're promoting. That's what they believe they need to do to make more money. And the partners in that are the Canadian owners, who basically have sold out Canadian hockey fans. Whether they've done it intentionally or by accident is not the point. The point is they're doing it. By having the worst teams in the league reside in where most of the money comes from, to me, is a hypocrisy. And that's why I love the CFL, because the CFL is about teams winning. And that's why a dumb guy like me, and John, you know I'm telling you the truth, I'm telling these folks the truth. That's why I love seeing Winnipeg improve, why I love and care about Edmonton becoming another team that can win. You know, there's so few teams in our national game, the CFL, that, you know, your team can win, even though it doesn't prove true historically. But, you know, there's a better opportunity. There's only 9 teams. Next year, a year after, 2 years from now, we'll be talking about a 10th team. There's no question there's going to be a 10th team. It's just a question of where it'll land. You know, top two in Canada to play in our football league, in the Eastern Division, Quebec, and somewhere in the Maritimes. I truly hope that's true. I want to see a 10th team come in. So that's my other New Year's resolution that football, Canadian style, should have, is to bring in another team as soon as possible.
No, that's as mine, soon... Frank.
Huh?
That was mine. That was my
CFL
that yours?
One.
I was just waiting.
Did I hear you say it? Oh, I didn't hear you.
No,
so it's not yours.
I told you my Argonaut
the Wings championship in Brampton. I'm telling you, it was interesting. See, if you weren't listening to me when I stopped talking, you could have said that. Nobody would have known any difference. The listener wouldn't have said anything. I don't think the listener would have called. I've enjoyed my rant, but that's how I feel. Like, you know, we as Canadians have a right to celebrate victory. You know, in World War II, the Americans took that away from us. You know, we had victories in World War II that the Americans took away from us. It really bothers me that they're taking away hockey from us as well. But that's okay.
You're hitting a lot of points here. I know, but you're hitting a lot of different angles. You've crossed a lot of arguable.
Mine?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, why don't you give me yours? How do you feel about the CFL expanding to a 10th city?
Well, I'm loving the idea. I think that's the only option you're going to have if you want this to really get a broader community sense of a league, if people understand what I'm trying to say, is that by having a coast to coast, what they're trying to reach out to. I think that's another New Year's resolution that maybe the CFL should decide on, is to either give up on the New Brunswick or Halifax thing, or just admit that, you know, we want to do Quebec, and maybe we'll range out to the east a little bit farther. But I think the people out in the east who've got a little bit of a taste of this perhaps might get disgruntled that the CFL would just give up on them if they don't get a team, because there's people who put, you know, time and effort in having those games that they had out there, and they did that with the intentions that hopefully they could sell the product to the Maritimers out there. And I don't know, Frank. I think, you know, Quebec has to be the
John,
answer.
John, it's time to, you know, like they say, it's time to park the car. Just park it. Just park the car. You know,
well, look,
there's another way of
easier,
saying it, but I won't say it on the air here.
Look, it's going to be easier to park the car when, you know, you have money for the parking space. Meaning
well,
that
there is.
There's two options. I think we're trickling, Frank, with financial resources.
Yeah,
I don't think we're all there.
There's not enough trickling. I think they've already, between you and I, John, they just don't want to, they don't want to talk about the next expansion until they've, and I don't mean this in a bad way, until they've milked the latest expansion as much as they can. You know?
No.
They don't want to,
no,
you know, they don't,
no.
they don't want
I'm
going to
tell
want,
you. I'm going to tell you what is the reason why they're holding back. Until you get a solidified ownership in BC and Toronto, why are you going to expand when you can't get two solid buyers for two existing teams? It doesn't make business sense. You don't go selling a product when you haven't even sold the ones that you're supposed to have already a sale or for sold sign on. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
so
but John, I don't think that's a big concern anymore.
No, it is.
It is because all you got
is Braley holding on because he doesn't want this to get screwed up again, and he has seen in previous years what's happened when a strong financial owner who's helped out lets go, and then you know the club goes into a disarray again, and then the league ends up having it because in the CFL, if one team is hurting, it can affect quickly the other teams, okay? And even though we got this financial PSN money that we talked about, we're getting all rich on.
You're right.
We're not getting
you're
rich
right,
on this.
John. You're right.
Well, I'm trying
That's
to
no
be
argument.
Right. I'm trying to...
But okay. John, I agree with you. But the thing of it is, they've got 9 teams. They got to have 10. There's no way that we can carry on a season with a team having a week off, you know, as often as going, you know, every week a team has to have a week off. You know, that basically means, you know, there's going to be a lot of off weeks. And getting in those 18 games, I'm dying to see what the schedule is going to look like, to be honest with you. I'm kind of glad they did what they did this year, this past season. They had that freaky bye week for almost everybody. It was a freaky, you know, that freaky week where the Argos
yep.
played like, you know, a couple of days later
right.
and didn't
yeah,
play
yeah.
like more than a week later, you know, at least now it'll be more consistent because they'll be forced to sit a team out every week. So
well,
that, you know,
we'll see. You know, we always run into this situation with Toronto and BC for some reason seems to be an issue too. BC plays, as far as the dates go, you know, I think with the new lease that the Argos signed with the Rogers Centre, I think that was a big part of the discussion that it's hurting them financially, and they have the paper trail to show it with what happened last year with these ridiculous Tuesday night games, okay? So I think, if anything else, we are probably never going to see another Tuesday Argo game. So
well,
I hear.
I hear. I hope that goes without saying, you know. You know, I really think so. That should be another New Year's resolution that the Rogers Center should make. Rogers Center will no longer create early week games like a Tuesday or even a Wednesday. John, I think is ridiculous. You know, I think between Thursday and Monday, if a team cannot find a place and a time to play in those days. I mean, forget it. There has to be some consistency when it comes to fans like me. Like, if I know that the Argos play the majority of their home games on a Thursday or Friday, right? They choose that as their home. Then I know, I tell my friends, I'm not doing nothing Thursday or Friday. Forget it.
Right.
Because
right.
that's Argo night. That's Argo
yeah.
night. Right. But when you're all over the place, it just makes it really tough. Mike, welcome to the program.
What's up, fellas? Sorry that I'm late, you know.
No worries about it. You're getting docked. Your paycheck's going to be a little thinner this week.
Mr. T, what state are you in tonight?
Right now, man, I'm in the great state of Mississippi.
Mississippi. How's the weather?
Oh, it's nice. You know, a little cool, but, you know, no snow. You know, a little jacket, you know. Ain't bad at all.
Nice.
Hey, do you ever make it out this way, like Buffalo?
You know, sometimes I make it out to the New York area, upstate New York. You know, sometimes I hit the five boroughs, but not that often.
Well, because, you know, I might hitch a ride with you and take a tour with you. I'd like to check out what it's like being a trucker driver.
Right, right. Hey, it's all good by me. All good by me, Frank.
But it'd be hard to do the show, though.
Yeah. Well, evidently,
you know,
Mike.
We'll figure out a way to do it. If there's a way,
I know we will.
Think about that one, Mike. You've never spent 3 hours in the same room with Frank, so never mind the truck. Oh!
Okay.
Oh.
Of course,
yeah.
Neither is John. So.
No. Oh. No. No. I can say that Frank's a good road trip kind of guy. He's
You just gotta ask Eric, our buddy Eric, and he'll tell you what I'm like on the road.
Okay. Who we got on the show tonight?
Hmm.
Who all here tonight? Besides,
just us three, buddy.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Well, Christopher's out for dinner.
Okay.
I made a mistake. I gotta fire up the old Facebook to find out if anybody else wants
Where's Christopher?
He's having dinner.
Oh, he's back in the hot tub.
Yeah, he's eating out.
There you go.
No, you said that. I just said he's back in the hot tub. I don't know what you're talking about, Frank. naughty.
Out. They've gone out for dinner.
Yeah. So, Mike, we're talking about resolutions. New Year's resolutions.
Okay. For football team. For players. If you were a football team or a player, what New Year's resolution would you make for that team or player or coach?
And don't take mine, Mike. Okay, don't take mine. Mine was for the Argos to get their sale done. And for the CFL,
like, cares about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's got to get caught up.
Well, here, I got one for you, Mike. Your New Year's, the New Year's resolution for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, that they provide a ticket to Mike Townsend and his family on opening night.
There you go. I take that one any day. I take that one any day.
Well, you can take it, but are you ever going to get that? Frank, make a reasonable one.
Right. Hey, we never know if Mr. Bob Young is listening. Young is listening. And if Mr. Young, I can email you my email address, and we can go from there if you're listening.
Hey, Mike, he's got to sell every single seat for the next 5 years to make sure he gets a smile on his face. So I don't know if he's going to be giving out any freebies in the next little while.
Right.
I think Hamilton's fine, John. Hamilton's fine, and the owner of Hamilton is even finer. I mean, they've now got a pro league with a pro team and a pro stadium. What else can Hamilton ask for?
What if the Pan Am Games never came? What if? What would have happened to Hamilton and their stadium situation? Just think about it. So who cares? He was owning the team prior to that. He was owning the team prior to that for years. And, you know, it wasn't until the Pan Am Games came up and the money came together with the profits and stuff that they were able to put it together, a so-called, quote-unquote, high school stadium. So to say that, you know, it's not resolved in Hamilton. It was only because the Pan Am and the province came out to help him out that
You're not suggesting that the Hamilton franchise is in trouble in any sense or wasn't.
No, not trouble. Not trouble, but, you know, it wasn't looking rosy. He was admitting he was losing money.
John, I'll just ask Bruce to call. We don't have to piss him off to get him to call. He's wishing me a happy New Year now, and you too.
Bruce,
and you're talking like this.
Bruce would agree with me. What are you talking about? I'm just agreeing with the facts, bro. I'm not trying to, put a back.
Really? Really?
Well, Frank,
you and Argo fan is going to go there?
Go there, dude. Then you don't know me at all. I'm always neutral. I'm passionate about, you know, my Argonauts, but I'm always being realistic about the facts. And if you caught up with the facts, is that he was crying the blues for a little while. You know, he said something.
I hope I don't misinterpret what you said, but I think the only problems Bruce had is that he felt that they weren't given the proper opportunity to get the correct seats in Guelph. Now, you may end up being right again. You may not. We don't know yet. Bruce and company, the existing fans of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, will believe that they'll have the rights to something equal or better to what they had before the new stadium was built. Now, having said all that, that's all he was crying about. He wasn't crying about support of the team. I don't think there's a single Hamilton fan who thinks that there's not enough support for their team.
No, we're talking about support. I'm talking about Bob Young putting the money up himself for the stadium. He wasn't doing it. He needed that
help.
Yeah,
of course he wasn't. Who the heck's going to do it, John? He's not making that much money. And now he's got a chance to turn a profit.
Okay, no.
Now
when
he's
you
got
go
a
back
chance to make some money. And now he can, you know, I don't think they'll ever be what the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are. But they have a good chance of being a lot better than the Argos, you know, as far as finances are concerned.
Well, it was
they
long
have,
overdue. It was long
yeah,
overdue.
Yeah, well, that's and that's a good thing. Listen, I'm an Argos
saying,
fan because I'm an Argos fan.
I'm just
fan.
Saying,
I
Frank,
clear.
The initial
like
comment
you, John,
that
you
made about
like
Bob
you,
Young and being a supporter and he's going to be there always, well, like I said, he wasn't supporting it with a brand new stadium. It was only because the Pan Am Games came and they got the
Did
stadium.
I don't know. I don't remember saying that, but okay, I'll own that. I'll own it only in the sense that you because of what you've said. But as far as ownership in Hamilton is concerned, they have Bob Young. He loves
yeah.
the game, you know. And you and I both know that Hamilton has the ability to support a team now that they have a stadium. I don't want to argue with you about what would have happened if they didn't have a stadium. I don't even want to argue with you about. You know, why didn't Bob Young put the money up, or would he have? That's not important anymore. Now we move forward. We look ahead. We look ahead, and what we see is next year, season ticket holders, the first opportunity for disappointment for Hamilton fans isn't going to the stadium. It's where they're going to sit, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. I believe there's going to be some concern by some people, like Bruce John Inch and others, who have an idea of where they should be sitting, and hopefully they'll get to sit near where they think they should be sitting. If they're going to have some the Ticats are going to have some fence mending to do. No pun intended.
Frank, Bruce had every reason to be upset with the situation that they were dealt with when you get a new stadium. And get ready for it, buddy. When we're moving, that's going to happen to us too. And we're not going to be located on the 25-yard line, you know, in a nice kind of a cozy space that we have right now because of all the elbow room. It's going to be tighter, and there's going to be some sort of a licensing fee or something or another that's going to be tagged on to this new stadium. So I can understand why he was ticked off. I mean, they wanted the Ticat fans to ante up more money for something that, you know, they normally wouldn't have had to have done as a season ticket holder. I think what the Ticats should have done was this. Anybody who's been a season ticket holder for more than 3 years or prior to the announcement of the new stadium should have had everything frozen. Okay, because they're the committed fan. They did the season ticket thing before the new stadium was even announced. Anybody who jumped on board, like ticket brokers do and all these big ticket agencies, they should have had to pay the licensing fees or whatever fees additional that they wanted to do for Guelph, and then you have to buy Guelph seats in order to sit in new state. That's a ripoff. It's forcing the diehard to do something that he normally wouldn't have to do, and he's always been there in the leaner days. Okay, in a tough day. So I get their point. I get Bruce's point. I'd be disgruntled in the same way. And like I said, Frank, get ready. It's going to hit us too. When we're moving, we're going to have to go through the same thing that Bruce went through. Except we're not going to have to go and commit ourselves to another stadium, you know, in order to buy the new seats at BMO. So it's a little bit of a different scenario, but we are going to pay an ante for it. But sorry, Mike, we cut you off. We started drifting off. We asked Mike for his... in a New Year's resolution. Go ahead. I'm done.
I was listening to y'all taking in the insight. That's all, you know. I'm glad you said it because that's something I didn't know, but now I know and know it's half the battle. So to my New Year's resolution, what I want the Ticats to do, and actually what I want the CFL to do as a whole, I want certain teams, Ticats, Toronto, I want them to bring in some big-time players.
Wow, that's going to be a tough one.
That could be the face of your franchise. Not really. With the CBA going up, Believe me, you can sway some dudes away from south of the border.
Yeah, I know, but is there any particular ones? You see, the thing is, Mike, with that is that the CFL GMs are looking for the bargain player because there's so many players out there in the pool to pick from. That marquee NFL guy to bring up in the CFL to sell the tickets, they've been there and done that. And that is only like a – and I get your point. I do get your point because as far as what you see down there, you know that names sell, right? And you know that maybe you're going to get more American viewership or fans if you got a name that they can kind of tune into and recognize. And honestly, at this point in our era where, you know, we talk football, it's all over the networks and all that stuff, it's not about getting an American fan who hasn't heard about the CFL to come and watch it because now they know a name up here. It's about actual fans, real football fans appreciating the product. And I think if we stick to that marketing tool where we only want to get the fan that appreciates the product rather than the name, I think that's – I get your point, but your point is one of those points that's been tried before. And then we've lived through – at least I have. I've lived through that marquee image thing, let's get American guy up here.
Yeah, but, John, it wasn't an abject failure every time. There were successes and there were failures. But
yeah,
that's
but Frank,
to be expected.
It was mostly a failure because it was like –
No, Frank, what I mean by failure –
Hold on, what I mean by failure, it only lasted 1 or 2 years. It didn't get the fan hooked, and he kept on watching.
John, you know what the problem is, John? You're too close. You can't see the forest for the trees.
I've been in the forest ten times, and I've lived through the forest, seen it, and the woods being chopped down, and then they grew again, and then I went through the forest again, and they got chopped down again, and I went through the forest again.
Let me explain my position. My position is this. There was a young guy named Flutie, okay, who by Michael's definition before Flutie came here would fit into exactly who he's talking about.
Frank, Flutie came from Canadian teams, then he came to Toronto where he was used as a marquee player. In the meantime, he never came from the States. He never came from the NFL. He came from the USFL. Let's get those facts straight.
No. Flutie came from the – when Flutie came to the Canadian League, he came from the NFL.
From
Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears.
Okay, you got me on that one. But he didn't come up from the Chicago Bears because he was a marquee player in the NFL.
But he was
a Heisman Trophy winner, John.
Yes, and he was the starting quarterback in Chicago.
College, not NFL, okay?
But, John,
He was the starting quarterback in Chicago. Toronto wooed him away from the NFL.
No, he never came to Toronto first.
No, Calgary. I meant to say Calgary.
He went to BC, and then he went to Calgary,
okay.
And then he came to
Toronto,
I believe.
It doesn't matter. But, John, that's not the point. All Mike is trying to say, here's the way I read, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. The way I read, Mike, is this, is that there are some people out there, players, that have a profile that transcends the CFL and, in fact, reaches the majority of football fans, okay? Guys that the majority of football fans, including CFL fans, that recognize, know, and respect. You grab a couple of those guys is Mike's theory, and I'm inclined to agree with it. I probably don't agree with him as much as he says, but I do agree to a degree. I do. That you bring these guys in to raise the profile of the league, and it creates, whether you want to agree or not, it's not the point, but it creates the opportunity for credibility in as far as a higher echelon talent being part of the game in the CFL. And that becomes a selling point.
Yep. And the thing about it is, back in that time when Flutie, Rocket Ishmael, amongst a lot of NFL players, that was a different time and era. We're talking about right now where the CFL is known. It's not like players down here in the NFL don't know nothing about the CFL. CFL is known down here in the States. You might not think the CFL is known down here, man, but the majority of
Mike, I'm going to interrupt you, but I want you to continue talking. Instead of known, use the word that have access to the CFL.
Thank you. That has access to the CFL.
Right?
I get guys when the CFL season was playing, asking me how can they get ESPN? They got to get this network to see the CFL. CFL is popular down here in the States. You might not think it is, but it's popular.
Mike.
And you bring guys in, like if you bring some guys, like I'm going to tell you, for instance, just imagine if Toronto would have signed last year when he got suspended, when he got away from Miami. If Toronto could have put a contract together to get Chad Ochocinco in Toronto.
Mike, let me answer that for you. Mike, let me answer that for you. Mike, the marquee player doesn't work in Toronto. And Doug Flutie never sold tickets in Toronto, just to get the facts straight. Won two back-to-back, the most memorable Grey Cups in my lifetime, and nobody showed up to the stadium. So the marquee thing does just not cut it here. The press here, and I'm going to keep saying it, I've knocked this league down in this city for so long, for so many times, that no matter what marquee player you bring in here, it's still not going to work. We brought a marquee player in from the Miami Dolphins who had a track record of a marijuana use, and that had a lot of attention on it. Do we sell tickets? No. We didn't even sell the tickets to... We sold ESPN to come up here and follow him around for 3 months to see whether or not he was going to break the drug thing that he had on him. So
Ricky Williams had the highest selling jersey at the CFL
that
year. But
nobody came to the stadium, Mike. Look, he had the highest selling jersey.
Time and era. It's a time and different era. It's a different era for the CFL right now.
First of all, I gotta find out. I've never heard that as an Argo fan, and I think I would have heard this, okay? And I would have known that fact about him selling the most jerseys. I never heard it.
All you got to do is look it up, man.
I got to look it up because I got to tell you.
When Ricky Williams came to the CFL, man, I was a big follower. I was a big follower because I wanted to see who was going to win the rushing title between him and Charles Roberts.
And Mike, what did that prove? What did that prove to your marquee player up here? What does that mean? He didn't do squat because not every NFL player can cut it up here, okay? They can.
Yep, that is true. That is true. Guys, you're both right, and John, you are 100% right when you say that the CFL isn't necessarily, what you're saying, isn't necessarily a place for the best players in the NFL or marquee players in the NFL. What has to happen is, and this is where I agree with Mike, is you got to make the right decision on who you bring up that fits into the game that the CFL is, not try to change the game for the benefit of that player. Ochocinco, I don't know if he'd be CFL football coach, but I do know that the biggest and most important thing for a receiver is the waggle. If you can't figure out the waggle and can't waggle, you're not going to succeed in the CFL. So somehow you have to know that the guy you bring in has a name, and I agree, a name is good. But that name has to fit into the game and the way the game is played, even specifically, not only in the CFL, but by the team that he is joining, you know?
And, Frank, I want to add something to the point where I'm not going to name the players' names, but no one – and, Mike, you have to understand this. When you bring up a marquee player, so-called marquee player, or let's a high-priced NFL image player or whatever you want to call it, the chemistry of the room, in a CFL room, breaks down. This guy is getting all the attention. It's not a unity thing anymore. These guys, are become a little bit envious of, the disrespect that they get from media because they're focusing on one guy in the dressing room rather than a collective group. And
yeah,
that is going to happen
points,
every...
John. Solid
with
points.
That?
Solid
yeah,
points.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I'm saying it because, like I said, Mike, I've seen it, I've lived it, been through it, talked to a few players afterwards when I wasn't even really socializing with them that close, but you bump into them and they speak their mind a little bit once in a while. They kind of sarcastically make a couple of joking comments, but you get the gist of it, and it's not a good thing, okay? It's a temporary selling point, and it fades away after a while and becomes more disruptive and destructive in the chemistry of the whole team, then it becomes productive, okay? So
it makes you, if your team is winning, the other players should not care who's getting
the
more attention.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? Show me one example. show me one example. Even with Ishmael, even when Rocket was up here, okay, there was that envy. But you had a good quarterback in Matt Dunnigan, who kind of was already a star in the league and was able to take control of that. So there wasn't that envy on one player because Matt, there was a, you know, without Matt,
yeah,
there was no
Arca. A quarterback is a different beast even in the CFL. You know, Ricky Ray, when he steps into the dressing room, we all know they look at him and he's the guy that makes the majority of the money that the team gives
out.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, but that's why I say, and I agree with both of you, you're both right, by the way. You really are. I'm not just saying that. You're
I'm
right.
I'm a little bit more right. I'm a little bit more right.
Well, whatever. Mike's right. Mike's right. Yeah, no, I get it. Mike's right because the idea is to do something different that attracts attention. Your idea is that you can't just bring anybody in because there's a lot of reasons why it can fail.
Mike is right. Mike is right because Mike is a fresh fan. He's a 10-year CFL fan, if I want to even say that or correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm an in and out fan.
You can add a little bit more numbers to that 10 years.
A little bit more numbers, but I'm just saying if that's expected because you've seen the cycle of you know things that haven't happened yet, things that maybe you think, oh well, why don't they try that? And really, Mike, they have, and I think that's what I like about the CFL.
They haven't brought in the right kind of players to fit their market.
But you know what? The CFL fan goes after the team unit. We don't go after one player unit. There hasn't been one CFL franchise that has been supported by the fans because of one player. You know, it's a community thing. That's why Saskatchewan works so well. The community supports it. They support the whole entire team. They don't go after the marquee player support.
John, don't you think even with the CFL, with the progress that they've made, you know, here, give me 30 seconds here. Give me 30 seconds. I'll make my point. I'll make his point, and I'll make your point. Here, just listen to this for a second.
Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you're like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's accurate.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning, TSN 1050. Okay, my point is for playing that is that I think we all agree the New Year's resolution for the CFL is to keep up and maybe even accelerate the individual players that are so talented that they stand, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of the league and the rest of the players. We need more of those kinds of players, more of the kind of players that they can do these kinds of commercials with, which is what I think Mike is trying to say. And I know for a fact that you're not against this, John, but we need to move in a more conservative manner, only in the sense that we make sure that the guys that we bring in don't destroy the league, rather build it up. But we do need more high-profile players. If we can tone down what Mike is saying, Mike, if we can tone it down a bit to, you know, to saying that it'd be great to have more high-profile, very talented players, and I think the most important thing that we can do is keep some of the players we've developed here in the another angle of your conversation. For example, a Carter in Montreal, having an opportunity to pay him a little more to keep him in here, mm-hmm. salaries to players like that. I don't think, John, you can argue with the point that Carter fits into the CFL, the Montreal
Frank,
Alouettes.
Totally agree. A marquee player that has earned the respect in the CFL. Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. Fight for that kind of advertisement to sell those players. But a player who hasn't earned the respect and became a marquee player because of his activity in the CFL, no, it ruins the chemistry of the room and the team.
Okay.
I say stay
away
from
but
that.
But I think
Hold on, one more thing. Frank, I always give you crap about other things, and I'm going to give you kudos for what you just did. That was such a cool transition to get a commercial break in there, because listeners, I give Frank so much grief about not throwing more breaks in, and the way he just pulled that one off, I have to point it out, high five, double high five. Way to go.
Well,
go on.
Well, thank you. It was on subject, so it was important to me to throw
beautiful.
That in there.
It was beautiful.
And Mike, you know, in your conversation, I agree with you bringing guys in, because the idea is to bring high-profile people that are very talented, that people love to watch. Because let's face it, for the majority of football fans, and I'll put it in numbers, okay, and I'll use the Argos. I won't talk about any other team. For the Argos, the first 20,000 love their team. You know, maybe 20, 22,000 love their team. The next 10,000 that come in because something, there's a buzz going on that brings them to the game. So there's your 30,000. But if you want to fill a 40,000-seat stadium, you got to bring guys with a lot of jam that bring in a lot of excitement, that are just, you know, the star power. And hopefully they actually work, you know, within the framework of the team and the league. That's how I see what you're talking about. Now, another thing is that one has to be careful about is guys like Carter. I think to your point, you're right, Mike. Not only, but I would add, not only should we concern ourselves with what we could bring in, we should be trying to keep guys like CJ Gable in the league. You know, we should be trying to keep Carter in the league. You know, these guys that prove that they're exciting players. I know they can be replaced, but I happen to think that the fans in Hamilton love that guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to believe that the fans in Montreal love Carter.
And you know what? And that's my point. I'm not talking about bringing in a $5 million guy from the NFL to come to the CFL. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is the way these guys are working out these days and these CFL players, they're getting better. And that's the reason why a lot of these guys is getting touted by the NFL right now. They're getting better, and they're getting their game on. Now, you got some NFL guys, for instance. I'm going to bring up one guy from Winnipeg that was brought in. I think he was signed last year.
No, not Chick.
What's his name? Mike Sims-Walker,
mm-hmm.
The receiver. He was a pretty good receiver down here in the States. Numbers game came around, and he was gone. Winnipeg signed him. They let him go ahead, take his time to get acclimated to the CFL. And toward the end of the season, when they finally put Mike Sims-Walker on the field for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, he produced like a CFL receiver. He's going to be that number one guy. He's going to be big time next year.
Yeah, he's one of the reasons why.
Mark my word on it.
Yeah, no, I already know you're right. Because even though they've had trouble at quarterback, Winnipeg, it goes to show either they have bad judgment or the fact that the Red Blacks really took a lot out of their receiving core, that being Winnipeg's, tells you the depth at receiving that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have. And if they had a quarterback that was capable of throwing the ball and not interceptions, they're going to have an incredible – if they come up with a decent quarterback this year – they're going to have an aerial attack that's going to be really interesting, that's going to negate all the big-sized linemen that are in the Western Division. So it's going to be kind of ironic. They're going to go in there with a different kind of attack. They're going to be more like Calgary.
Mm-hmm. And don't be surprised if they get an NFL quarterback to come up and play.
Could be possible. They need a quarterback. They have the receiving core. They need a quarterback. Winnipeg's in good shape if they get a good quarterback.
Yes, they are.
Even in the West.
Walker's going to be their number one quarter, their number one wide receiver, and he's going to have a breakout year. I guarantee it. I'm talking about guys of his caliber. I'm not talking about somebody like you trying to sign AJ Green or you trying to bring Megatron down here up to the CFL. I'm not talking about guys like that. It would be great, but you know, I'm not talking about guys like that. Guys that can produce at a high level and fans want to come see this guy play, knowing that he just came from south of the border.
Hey, Mike, where did Sheets come from? Was he an NFL player? No. But he's become a marquee CFL player because he earned it in the CFL. Now he's going to go dip his toes back in the NFL because of all the attention he got up here. You know what I mean?
Actually, he was an NFL player. He was on five different teams.
Right. Okay, I know, but all of them have it. I'm just saying he never got any stardism. He never got the start down there. He never got any attention. And then the CFL gave him that opportunity. Guys, the CFL GM has already seen this and the pattern, the way to go. There are so many combines that are going on in the off season, tryout camps and so forth, that is the best route to go. You want to get fresh, excited, eager, energetic players who don't have a chip on their shoulder coming up here, who want to prove themselves. That's what the CFL is about, is seeing the shining star in a thousands or hundreds of thousands of players or people that they pick out of, and have that player kind of become something. That's what I like about the CFL, not about going after the big names and then putting all the attention on them and, you know, putting the red carpet out. I really don't like that kind of a show, Mike. I don't know. I'm down
but
to the
grassroots. But don't you think, John, I get what you're saying, but don't you think also that there has to be a kind of a continuity? The biggest problem with a lot of leagues is that the players change places too much. I happen to think that's crap, Frank.
That doesn't happen. That is a stereotype that's been used against the CFL, which is a bunch of BS.
No, what against the CFL? Every league's the same.
There's a level
of association between fans and players that happens is a builder of a league and a builder of a team.
The stereotype on the CFL has always been, we don't know the players. They never stick around long enough, which is a bunch of crap, okay?
I never said that, John.
You don't have to say it, Frank. It's been in the news for the last decade here
that's
in Toronto.
That's not what I'm talking
in the last
about.
20
what
years,
talking
they've
about,
been saying
what I'm
it.
Talking about, it's nice to have some continuity because, you know, not every fan is like you and I and Mike, John. A lot of fans, when they go to the game, there's a guy they know, and they go, oh, yeah, there he is, Ricky Ray. Yeah, oh, yeah, I heard lots about him. Wow, he is good. You know, there are some people who go to a game and don't really know that many players, but might know one or two because they're around long enough to be known. But, you know, I'm not looking at it as an excuse for why teams don't do well. I'm just saying I think it's a positive thing if there's some continuity. I'm not saying there has to be a lot. But I think the biggest reason there's no continuity in the CFL is because of the budgets and because they don't have that much money. And it seems like for every player that plays well last year, you got to lose a player this year to keep him or lose him and keep another player, keep two players. That's the thing about the CFL. I feel sorry for the GMs in the CFL. I mean, their budgets are cut pretty close to the bone, right? Don't you think?
Right. Like I said before, Frank, and I always stick to this. And if the CFL pay raise was higher, and it was given, and they can afford to pay people almost, and I say almost, like the NFL, believe me, you'll be seeing a lot of stars from the south coming up north because of the money.
The more Carters, CJ Gables in the league, the better the league will be. You know, everybody loves the big play, you know, and big plays are great. But big plays are made by big players, you know.
There you go, big-time players.
You know, and I'm not saying there aren't any in the CFL. There's a ton of them. I'm saying, first of all, first step, keep the ones you created. Second step, bring some more in if you can afford it and if they fit in.
Right. And
hopefully
in order
that's
to keep
what
the
new money
will create it. Yep, in order to keep the one that you created, you got to pay them, or they're going to walk.
Unfortunately, there's going to be a resolution that's not going to be fulfilled, Mike, and that's going to be yours regarding getting the marquee high-priced players. Even in the way you're explaining it, they're just not doing it. They stopped doing it. The Williams thing in Toronto was the last attempt at anything like that ever again. They tried it with the Renegades when they brought up that linebacker that had a drug problem too, and they gave it his big guy. I forget his name.
Dexter Manley. He played
Manley.
The Renegades.
Okay, and all those are all failing, and those guys only came up here because of issues that they had in the NFL. No NFL star type player will jump up here because of the money thing or because of anything else. They all want to even go back when they make it big up here. And I get it, Mike. I get what you would love to see. But I'm just saying, there's so many examples of why it doesn't work, it hasn't worked, and it just won't. It's better to get something fresh and make a star out of somebody who isn't. And, you know, I don't want to be a negative on your idea because, like I said, I get what you're saying, and it could bring some attention, but it'll only be temporary. And it won't be the right type. And I don't know. I don't want to.
Not necessarily, man. It depends on the individual that they sign and that they bring up. As long as the CFL CBA goes up, if the CFL is making money, it's gonna be higher paychecks every year.
Give me one example, and then I'm going to tell you why that guy's not going to fit in right off the bat in the dressing room.
Okay, before you give the example, let me slide in a couple of comments off Facebook. We've got Bruce John Inch. He wanted to wish everybody a Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all that wonderful stuff. He's a little busy right now, can't come on the air. But, you know, he likes where he's sitting now in the new stadium. It cost him an extra $200. The reason it cost him an extra $200 is because he went up a level. I think he went from gold to platinum or silver to gold or something. And he also wants to remind everybody that every player he has met in person, added to Twitter, Facebook, etc., also has gotten back to him. He asks, do you think NFL players would do that? He doesn't think so. Also, Steve Richardson will be sitting beside me or behind me or very close to where I'll be sitting next year. A new, real excited Argo lifer. He wishes everybody a Happy New Year and, of course, a Merry Christmas. And I promised I'd pass that along. And
Hold on. I don't want to cut you off. Talking about you and Steve, okay? That jerk, I'm going to call him out right now. I don't care if he ever hears this later on being taped. But the jerk on the aisle who's interrupted my 10-season ticket package group, the two seats that I wanted you two guys to sit on, has renewed, Frank.
That jerk
has renewed. No, it's not okay. Doesn't show up, never shows up, gives tickets away to some fans who are stuck in bewilderment going, what the hell are we doing in these two seats? And then he ends up purposely, after, you know, putting a request in, look, we'll move you up a couple rows, give these two to Frank and Steve.
Okay,
you don't
well,
use
John,
them
it
anyway.
Doesn't matter. John, don't worry about it. I really don't worry about it. Richardson and I are fine. We'll work out where we're going to sit. And, you know, in our group, not many people want to sit too close to us because we're kind of noisy. So it creates a couple of extra seat options around us. The people who end up sitting in our section, part of the reason why, as John mentions, they're not there during the game is because they find out they're sitting there and they have every right to move elsewhere. And the Rogers Center is quite happy to, you know, quite happy to move them at a equal or better location somewhere else. So eventually those seats come free anyway. So, you know, there's no need to worry about it anyway. And we don't do anything on purpose.
Good point.
Or
all right, go on. Carry
Who
on.
Cares?
Didn't mean to
you know?
Interrupt.
No, it's all right. Anyway, Steve's very happy to be in those seats, and he's incredibly excited about going to those games. We couldn't say anything to him. Steve wanted to sit beside me, asked if he could sit beside me, and I said, sure you can. Nobody else wants to. So, you know, I said, groupie, yeah, sure. But unfortunately, as John says, there were some issues with being able to reshuffle the seats. We couldn't do that. But at the end of the day, we all have fun when we're there, and if people don't like what we do, they have the option to move away. It's just that simple. So for those of you that are interested in coming to watch an Argo game, just tell them we sent you, Candid Frank Live sent you, and you'll get a discount, and I'm sure you'll be happy with the amount that you'll save. I'm not so sure how your hearing will feel about it, but, you know, you'll be in a good section where people actually care about the game while it's going on. We're not like most Argo fans, and you know, this isn't a slight on Argo fans. It's just a commentary on how they behave at the game. They're more conservative. They keep their hands warm.
The discount's only for Section 134B, Frank. Only for 134B.
Yep.
Nowhere else in the stadium.
You know,
so
a lot of Argo
that...
fans keep their hands warm. You know,
yeah,
that's what they do. You know, and that's fine. They pay for the ticket. They get to do what they want. We feel the same way where we are. We like to go crazy. So that enough about that. So my New Year's resolution is that let's hope that all games this year will not include the people who normally sit in those two seats that John so worried about because of the noise. The New Year's resolution then, I guess, guys, should be for the league that they allow and allow the opportunity for heightening the star power in the CFL and not doing what they can to keep the stars that are developed in the CFL. How about that? Is that a fair New Year's resolution for the CFL?
Fair enough.
Right? So we want more star power. We want more C.J. Gables. We want more. You know, we had our Chad Owens and Ricky Ray. Chad was not, you know, Chad Cacker, Chad Owens. They weren't as, because, you know, there's only so few on each team, you know, the big game, like Inman was another big play guy. You know, this year, if it wasn't for Childs, we wouldn't have had anybody making big plays, because I think even with the great year that Ricky had statistically, I think even he probably wasn't happy with the way the year went. It wasn't that special.
No.
So, you know, and we as fans, that's what we look forward to, seeing special stuff happen on the field. And you know what? Even when the other team does it, you know, it's fine. Like, John, you and I know the reception that that Edmonton made in that game, I probably don't have to tell you which game. The one that hit a couple of Argos and then the Edmonton Eskimo was falling down and he caught it. I mean, those are the kind of plays that bring you back to the game, that tell you what the CFL is all about.
Yeah, I remember that play. Screwed up my point spread.
Now, do you remember it because of the play or because of the point spread or some of both?
The combination of all, because it was not a good taste in my mouth after that. Stupid, ridiculous. Two tips, okay, two Argo tips, and then as the Edmonton guy is falling, not even in, you know, expecting it, if it wasn't for the two tips and the ball would have never been going in his direction where he was falling, and he catches it on his way down. And it's first down rather than, you know, turnover on downs, right? So, yeah, I remember that play. And they scored a touchdown on that drive, by the way. Yeah, I remember that
yes,
play.
Yes, they did. And they were full value for it. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a bit. You know, it is New Year's, and it's a time to rethink a lot of things. We're talking about New Year's resolutions, and here's my hope for a New Year's resolution for everybody. And a big fan of Diane Nyad, who swam across Lake Ontario, and she did it at the age of 60, I think, 63, I think she is. And I admire her completely, and I loved what she said when she came out of the water. After four failed attempts, 64-year-old Canadian endurance swimmer Diane Nyad is the first to swim across the 160-kilometer Florida Strait from Cuba to Florida in just 53 hours without a shark tank. Right after reaching the shore of Key West, this is what our hero Diane Nyad had to say, swollen lips and all.
I got three messages. One is, we should never, ever give up.
Okay.
Two is, you're never too old to chase your dreams. That's right.
Amen. You are.
Three is, it looks like a solitary sport, but it's a team.
And the same could be said for this program.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not shout, I'm telling you why. Christmas music's driving me nuts. I hear it when I'm shopping, I hear it in the mall, I hear it on the radio, and I can't take it no more. So I'm taking my axe, I'm heading downtown, gonna hack all those loudspeakers down. Christmas music's driving me nuts. Everybody!
We hear it when we're shopping, the same songs every year. I think I'd rather
forming a mob, we're doing it right. We're gonna have a real silent night.
Christmas music's driving us nuts. Christmas music's driving us nuts.
No!
Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers, a fan supporter group of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. As a group, we have been dedicated to working hard at Argo games, screaming, yelling, and doing whatever it takes to distract the opposition in the CFL. Guess what? We have been noticed by many, including the Toronto Argonauts themselves. In fact, we have been noticed by you, the fans, as well. Even the players and coaches and all the Argo staff are pleased and appreciate our support. So much so that the season tickets are being offered to you, you, and you for next season for very close to half price. What do you have to do to share in this opportunity? Just use my name, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, when calling Argo sales rep Chris Andrioli at 416-341-2793. You heard it, nearly half price from Chris Andrioli at 416-341-2793. Just say Candid Frank Live Stanishi sent you. That number again, 416-341-2793. I hope I'll be yelling next to you in 2014. Argos!
Well, yeah, so there is that offer.
Great
unfortunately,
commercial.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thank you.
No,
I appreciate
damn.
It.
Damn. I think you should send the tape to the Argos and let them know. That was perfect, Frank. I don't know.
Well,
that was one of your best Argo commercials to date.
Well, there you go.
Very
once
well
in a while,
done.
I've done 100. One of them's got to satisfy John. Mike. so, Any other? How about for a player? I will do one for me. Ricky Ray's New Year's resolution: to have a crappy year and win the Grey Cup.
Oh. Okay, you go, Mike.
For a player,
Franks.
For a player, Henry Burris signs back with Ticats and then win the Grey Cup.
Okay. Well, for me, I'm going to say the entire Saskatchewan Rough Rider team, do not stay late in dance clubs and do not pick any more fights and cab rides and stay out of trouble and stay away from the tweets.
Boy, they're not going to have
You're
much
right.
of a life. They're not going to have much of a life,
right.
John. Poor guys.
Hey, John, watch what you say. You don't want to get bomb threats now. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, I thought I'd throw that one out for Christopher Jones. I think he might have said something along those lines. Maybe not, but those guys have a lot of cleaning house to do.
No, I have one for Christopher Jones. Christopher, are you listening? It's around an hour and 16 minutes into the show, something like that. Probably a little bit less. Christopher Jones, my New Year's resolution is going to be that I am only going to say nice things about people.
Yeah, right.
Are we talking about Christopher Jones in BC? That guy?
My buddy Chris Jones is going to tell it like it is. I hate to tell you, he's going to tell it like it is.
I hate to tell you, I know what you mean.
Frank, I don't know.
I understand completely what you're saying.
Frank, I don't know if I would like Christopher Jones any longer if he changed his ways and wasn't what he is now.
I think we can all agree on that.
I prefer that one.
I think we all agree that the nicest thing about being on this program, you can be nice. And you can be mean. There's room to be mean, but you got to do it in a tactful manner, speaks to the fact that you do it in a way that it doesn't sound personal. When Christopher talks about Saskatchewan fans, he speaks from the heart because he can hardly take them. It's something that he's speaking with sincerity, right? But also the thing about Christopher is you can hear there's a little bit of a tongue in the old cheek when he talks.
Slightly?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
I don't
well,
want to insult him or give away his trade secrets, but, folks, you can tell when somebody's saying it in seriousness, And you can tell when someone's saying it because they're having fun and they're opening themselves up to being, you know, to getting a bomb threat, as Christopher mentioned.
Frank, we accomplished it. We said we'll get Christopher in the conversation for at least 3 minutes. There you go. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, Chris. You weren't even on the show, but you got at least 5 minutes of airtime.
Gone, but not
Chris,
forgotten.
There you go. Hey, Chris is a famous man around at Saskatchewan Parks.
Mm-hmm, yes. I'm sure he is. Just like
yes,
just
yeah,
like,
his picture's up in every post office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mike, are you going to be making your way out there anytime soon to see Chris out in BC, or do you go out that far?
I go up to Seattle, Oregon area, and when I get a chance to go out to Seattle, we're going to put some time in where I can stay out there for a couple of days, and Chris going to come down, and we're going to chop it up as usual.
So
I'm trying
when do you go home, Mike? When do you go back home? Like, how? I'm just curious. Sorry, not to drift off, but just intrigued by it.
Actually, I'm on my way home tomorrow. I'm just waiting for my load to get here.
Oh, nice. So you're away for like a week or so?
No, I'm more away, more like 2 to 3 weeks at the most. Sometimes a month, you know. Daddy got to pay bills, so you know.
Yeah, I hear
you.
No. Well, the only reason why I'm asking is that we get to feel your experience, and then now we know, and the rest of the listeners know the dedication that you have to the CFL. And this is American boy we're talking about here, folks. So you see the kind of love that he has for the Canadian Fun League. And I just wanted to let you know, get a feel of what you're going through. So, saying all that, it's great to have you on every night. Then that you get a chance to call in. And I imagine that it kind of fills a little bit of your void of driving alone all night, right?
Oh yes, I tell you what, and I always tell Frank, man, thanks for having me on the show, because actually being on the Canada Frank Lab show, it kind of changed my life in a way.
Oh, there you go, Frank.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Frank, I wouldn't be as popular as I am on Facebook right now.
Did you hear that?
Mike, I totally don't believe that for a second.
Carolyn is going to be so upset now because she already knows that the living room is filled with his head now. Okay? You've done it. You've accomplished it, Mike. It was bad before.
I don't think he accomplished it, John. It takes a lot more smoke up my behind to make my cheeks puff, let me tell you.
Hey, Frank, isn't that ironic that we're talking about the old days at the beginning of the show and just the two of us, and all of a sudden you've made a difference. You see that? Mike just gave you the explanation of why, you know, for little reasons, you know, things come together and why you do things and it brings people together, and you kind of make it a little bit of a difference, and you got to keep going at it. So remember those arguments and stuff?
Well, no. I'll tell you what. I did an interview with a radio station in Saskatchewan a couple of days ago that wanted to know what I was doing and why I'm doing it. And the answer is real simple. I do it because I happen to believe there are a lot of CFL fans that don't get a chance to talk about their game. And I know that because John and I love talking to CFL, and an opportunity came up to sharing with whomever wanted to talk about the CFL would get an opportunity to on a program about the CFL. So, you know, it isn't easy doing this. John knows more than anybody the rough road that we went through. You know, it's hard enough to understand a new program on your computer, because that's what this is. The network goes through L.A. and New Jersey. And, you know, we tried so many things to make it sound better. I'm talking technically here. We had so many pratfalls technically. It almost was a comedy of errors, you know, and it becomes amusing after a while, but it's always frustrating, you know. It's funny sometimes, but it's always frustrating. So all those frustrating times behind us, you know, brought us people like you, Mike. You know, when, as John would like to say, is everything happens for a reason. So this program ended up on the air for a reason. And there's a lot of people whom I'm grateful enjoy the program too. So, and here's, let me see now. Okay. We've got Kelly Bale. He's got a lot to say here.
KB, what's going on, man?
Yeah. The Riders' New Year's resolution is to win the Grey Cup in BC without all the motivation they had in 2013. They also would want to play more consistently rather than the roller coaster season of 2013. And Kelly Bale wants us to know that he loves all of us. Well, thank you, Kelly. That's a nice addition. And I just want to say one more time for the benefit of my wife, Kelly is a guy, and I don't swing that way.
Well, thanks, Kelly. Appreciate that.
And thanks, so
that's not what I heard,
we
Frank.
The love, man.
Hey, and Kelly,
I got
hey,
nothing
like,
against
though.
It. It's just not my style.
Hey, Frank,
hey,
Kelly, is like, so, I mean, being a Rider fan, that is hard every year when you go through those losing games. I mean, and they do it. They don't. They do it in style. They don't do one or two. They like to throw in three or four in a row. You know, so that's hard on their passionate fans. And I get it. I get it with them. You know, it feels great when you go on the streak of winning, but when you go on those losing streaks, you know, for 3 weeks you get badmouthed by the rest of the teams.
And God forbid you lose to the Argos.
I know, at home. So it's rough.
And,
so
and us Argo fans, we really hated bringing that pain to you.
I'm sure
they
loved it.
It was something we totally did not enjoy.
I'm sure.
I don't think enjoy would be the word.
I think,
John, the most memorable moment for me this year, I got to tell you, the proudest moment for me as an Argo fan, and I apologize, Saskatchewan fans, but I think if you listen to what I'm saying, for the reason that it's coming out and why it's coming out, it really is a sign of respect for you guys. It was such a sight to watch them losing against the Argos, and they had this look on their faces. Their jaws were touching the ground. It was like disbelief that their team would have the audacity to lose against the Argonauts. That was the most satisfying moment for me. Because really, we all believed that they were the team that were destined to win the Grey Cup, and they would have to give it up with what they had together, the team that they put together. So having the Argos go into Saskatchewan and kick their behinds and literally shock their fans into almost not being able to say anything. They got so quiet in that stadium. Greatest moment as an Argo fan for me, that was it, beating Saskatchewan in Saskatchewan.
There you go, Kelly.
There you go.
And I think they know I don't mean it as an insult. I mean it as a compliment as well. It was the most gratifying victory of the year.
Yeah, I think they know they ain't no insult.
So
big
so basic,
shout out to you, Kelly.
What was your most Mike? What was your most gratifying moment or moments of the year?
Let me see.
Want me to answer that
one?
My
here,
most
John
gratifying
will answer.
Moments.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mike,
go
I'll answer
John.
That one for you. As you are a Ticat fan, you should answer, and Bruce would have to answer that for you too, is not making the Grey Cup, but beating Toronto in the Eastern Final. Am I correct?
That was one of them. That was one of them.
Oh, no. That has to be it, because that's the only a thing that kind of is like salt in the wound is that moment.
Yeah, John, from our perspective, but from a Hamilton Tiger Cat perspective, I'm going to – have you got one? Because I can give you one too, if you've got
Go ahead, Mike.
The one I have, my most gratifying moment is when I was watching a Saskatchewan game, and everybody knows that I like more teams better than the other. I mean, I don't hate no CFL team, but I have my number one, my number two, my number three. They all go down the line to the bottom. And I put on my page, looks like Saskatchewan's about to go on a losing streak. And I'm not going to say the person's name, but they sent me a message and said, Townsend, you little B-I-T-C-H, you're about to get deleted from this room.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who's
it was more funny
you
than
from
anything.
The room? Phyllis?
I was in an all-writer room.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Right. And I said, it looks like they're about to go on a losing streak. You know, I mean, you know, just conversation. Everybody putting messages. And I got cursed out, and I actually got deleted from the room for saying that.
Wow.
Right on.
So that was your favorite moment.
That was my favorite moment. And me and the guy, we talked, you know, and I kind of just, you know, voiced my opinion of being called to BITCH because it wasn't that necessary because we both don't own no team in the CFL or no stock. So if they lose, they lose. I mean, it's a game. And we ironed out our differences. You know, we
are right. Here's one. Funny. I got one for Hamilton, for Hamilton fans, because normally we have a Hamilton fan in the group, and we do. We have you. But here's one. I don't remember the team they were playing. Was it Montreal? Was it the Alouettes? The week that made C.J. Gable the star that he became. When I forget how many yards he ran for, but for me, it was less about who he was playing, less about how many yards he ran, but more about how he made the yards. He was somersaulting, jumping in the air. Guys were missing him because they're grasping at air. And he was like, and I think the announcers referred to him as a gymnast, not a football player. And that was the coming out party for C.J. Gable when people realized the dexterity and I don't know, the way he moved, and he was such an artist, the way he ran, you know, as opposed to some of the guys that run with power. You know, he was a guy that ran with finesse, so much so he almost seemed like he was in slow motion sometimes. And if I was a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, that would have been a big moment for me when that guy came into his zone. And I have to tell you, my next favorite team is Hamilton, and I loved watching that guy do that stuff. And those are the kind of guys we can't lose to the NFL. We have to figure out a way to keep them, because that's the kind of stuff that I think makes the league better and also makes the league more sellable.
I agree.
I agree, too, but we just don't have the money. The agent will go to Gable and say, look, the Jets want you. They want you in the worst scenario on the practice roster if everything breaks down, and they'll pay you $800,000 just to go down there for the 4 months if things don't work out.
Yeah, when you get that, John. I agree with you, but what I'm saying is...
He's got
a
family.
I get that, John. Well, I'm not talking about every one of these guys. And it's much like Mike and I are having the same kind of conversation with you. He's having it with new guys, not every new guy, not every guy who's new who's available. And for me, not every guy that may leave the CFL, but at least keep as many as we can, you know. And in Mike's case, bring in as many as we can that have star power, that fans who are not in the first 20,000 that go to the game, you know. John, if you're going to have 30, 40,000 people in the stands, you've got to attract not just the regular CFL fans, but you have to, you know, reflect the or impact on the ones that are, you know, that are the ones that could be the new fans that are looking for a little more than what's offered.
Hmm? I'm glad you came back to that when you gave the breakdown as to the 20,000 that are the real fans. The next 10,000 show up because there's something going on in the game, and then you're saying that they would get another 10,000 if there was a marquee. The we're getting 20,000 now because we don't have 30,000 good seats, okay? We got 20,000 good seats, and those are the only ones that fans want to go and sit in. Now, if you had 30,000 good seats, I think you'd have 28,000 to 30,000 on a regular basis. I don't think you need the marquee player to fill the rest of the stadium up. I think if you do a proper stadium and you do proper dates,
you always
you will
need
have
John
25
in sports,
to 30 in Toronto.
I'm sorry, John, that's just not right. In sports,
well,
you need marquee players. Marquee players, John.
Wrong.
John, every
that's
league,
CFL.
Every
we
every
do have marquee
league.
Players, but they're not NFL at marquee players.
No,
they're
they
CFL
don't have to be
players.
NFL. They don't have to be
you
NFL.
You know what?
I didn't mean to go
and
back
I'm
to
gonna
that,
say
that.
I'm going to say this as far as the marquee players go. The way the CFL is working as far as the way the money is right now, all your marquee players And, you know, I always go back to it because, this is what I think. All your marquee players come from the indoor leagues and arena leagues. Example, C.J. Gable. He came from Nebraska, Nebraska Danger indoor league last year. Where do you think Odell Willis came from? Indoor league.
Okay, that's my point, Mike. You're proving my point.
Saying,
the indoor leagues, the CFL tryouts, the training camps, that's where you get the players. You don't get
that's
them.
Where you're going to get, that's where you're going to get some of your – that's where you're going to get
but
half
John,
your
nobody,
marquee players.
Nobody has ever said – I've never said that I expect NFL players. What I'm talking about are
impact
players. What are
you talking about
players.
Marquee? Give me one example of a marquee player that they should
just
sign.
Just gave you an example. C.J. Gable. I'm going to give you an example. Carter.
He's not a marquee player.
Carter's a marquee player. C.J. Gable's a marquee player.
Not,
who are you kidding?
Not before. You didn't even hear about them before they even had a chance this
year.
What are you guys talking about?
But John, no, John, you know.
John, what?
Okay.
John, what?
Okay. Okay.
Don't stutter.
I'll try this in the exact same words that Mike used, okay? There are players in the league or around available that for a tiny bit more money, by NFL standards, a tiny bit more money, you know, a fair amount of change by CFL standards, hopefully a reasonable amount of extra money by the new standard that the new CBA will bring in. Will give us an opportunity to bring, you know, naturally, without even that much effort, better players in. The point is that the better players are, the more great players we have, the better the league will be. Because what I look forward to
in
the game, we don't have all the time, John. Here, I'll
what
give you an
marquee?
Example.
Well, give me an example of a marquee
let me give
player
you an
that
example.
They should
Let me
sign.
Give you an example. Okay. What's better than having C.J. Gable?
Give me Gable again. Give me a player. They should sign a marquee player.
Give me a marquee player that's not in the league that you guys are saying that they should sign that would sell tickets. You're getting too specific.
Let me get this out, John.
You got C.J. Gable on one side of the hash mark, and then after he's done, Sheets comes in. Those are the kinds of battles that make the game very interesting. If it's a game... if the game
they're
is
already
between
in the, league.
The Ottawa,
you guys are
the Ottawa
about
running
bringing
game
a marquee.
Against the Calgary passing game is not as interesting, you know, as having them all the teams having a decent passing game and a decent running game. So that I believe the most exciting battles are the ones where you have the running backs going head to head and you know.
Okay, I agree too. Yeah, but marquee player. What marquee player do you guys want to bring in that's already not in the league? What are you talking about?
I never said not in the league.
Well, I think Mike is talking about bringing in marquee players that have a high-profile
like
name.
I'm going to name a name right now that can probably come up to Winnipeg and be a better quarterback than what they got. Matter of fact,
but
I'm going to
name
three.
Is he going to sell tickets? Is he going to sell tickets because they sign him? They don't need to sell tickets to Winnipeg.
John, they've sold tickets. Their concern, John, their concern in Winnipeg now is not selling tickets. It's keeping those people buying the tickets that bought the tickets. They've sold the tickets already. Now they got to do something to keep the fans.
You have Drew Stanton that's waiting in the wings, sitting behind Carson Palmer, that can come to the CFL and be a good quarterback. You have Vince Young that should have been in the CFL already, and then you have Josh Freeman, especially if nobody do not sign him to an NFL contract next year from Minnesota.
I agree. They're still good football players, and they still have an arm. But
and with the,
are
with
they going to risk bringing that
CBA,
guy in, chip on his shoulder? He doesn't feel like he deserves to be there. He should be in the NFL still, and he's trying to leg out his last days of his career.
A lot of guys are not coming with chips on their shoulder. They want a chance to play.
John, there's lots of players in the CFL that came from the NFL, Ricky Ray, who don't have a chip on their shoulder.
What are
Darian
you
Durant,
talking about?
No
we're not talking about
shoulder.
A young here. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about look, okay, anyways, guys, I'm not going to argue this point. You guys have your point views on it. I'm just saying you haven't given me a marquee player that you keep saying that will sell tickets and bring attention to the league that should be coming
Vince
out
Young.
From the – huh?
We don't
Vince
even
Young.
Know what – I mean, Vince Young.
Okay. So where is he supposed to be signed? By who? Winnipeg? Is that where he should go? Because they would sell more tickets, because it would bring more attention to the league if he went to Winnipeg? That's the Vince Young marquee player we should get for the league?
John,
Vince Young,
you know what? I hate we get to this part of the conversation. It's a part of the conversation I don't like. Let's not talk about tickets. Let's not talk about let's just talk about the game and what it would improve the CFL game, and let the tickets and television revenue take care of itself. The point is, Mike and I are going on the premise, and I think you'll go on the premise when you agree with what you think should be done. We all want the game to be better, right? So we all have different ways we think the game can be improved. And by improving the game, you're improving the attendance. You're improving all over the league. You're improving the attendance. You're improving the TV contract. You're improving the fan experience. And your favorite word, you help the atmosphere. You know, John? That's what we're talking about here. So he has his points. Mike has his points. He believes that we could still bring in for a little extra change. We could bring in some guys that have a name that might have an impact on the fans and the media around. You know, I know how you feel about the media, but I'm just trying to.
Both of you on one thing. I believe that if you're going to bring in a marquee player, and this is the only thing I would quote unquote call quote unquote marquee here, okay, is somebody who is a Canadian in the NFL. And we're in the teens now as far as Canadian players who play on NFL teams. Now, if you get one of those boys and pay them big bucks to join a CFL team, that's what I call a marquee player.
They're doing it,
John.
Because you're not infecting the roster. You're not infecting the import ratio.
John Chick.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. That kind of stuff, I'd be all game. I'm on board all day long on that kind of stuff. But
I'm going to tell you, I agree with you on that. That's why me, honestly, and it's just me, if I was the GM of Winnipeg or the head coach of Winnipeg, if you want to bring in a marquee player that has a proven track record, especially being a proven quarterback in college, I don't care what anybody says. If you talk to my man, Quinlan, if you trade for that dude's contract out of Montreal, I guarantee you, you can talk him to come in to play for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's your marquee quarterback that you need right there for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a Canadian. That guy's got a track record in college, man, and I'm pretty sure he'd be a successful CFL quarterback. He was just in the throne in the wrong place at the wrong time, being behind Anthony Calvillo or trying to get any type of playing time behind Calvillo.
Right.
That's why Montreal lost a lot of quarterbacks. McPherson should have still been in the CFL. But guys get tired of sitting and waiting because they're not getting any younger.
True.
There you go. More info from Kelly and Steve. Kelly says his son's 3.5, and he loves the Argos.
The Argos.
Then you've got Steve Richardson, who says his favorite experience was the road trip where the Argos won all those games on the road with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, that was
good too. That definitely was a good time for them. Calgary's greatest moments.
Hey, you never asked me, Frank.
Didn't I? I thought
no.
I did.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Talk there. Okay. Well, my favorite moment was, of course, without no doubt, without no question, the return of the boat logo as a third jersey. It was not a memorable game as far as the action on the field because we lost Ricky Ray in the first, two plays of the game. And we lost that game, too, to Calgary. But to have the boat logo come back, to start up the Facebook page, the Toronto Argonaut boat logo page, and to show the Toronto franchise management that, you know, that logo still has interest and it looks great on a jersey and it's profitable and it's something that people still want to wear and it's a new generation that has never seen it before. To get that accomplished and to actually see it through after, you know, at least 3 years being aggressive at it and really one full year putting all the efforts into it and then to have it come through, that has to be, for me, that without no doubt, the most memorable moment of this year. So,
on top of that, I'd like to add on a personal note, my wife did the best she could to buy me an Argo jersey, an Argo, well, Argo stuff.
She
couldn't find anything with the Argonaut boat logo for men. She could for women, but there weren't any for men.
I guess she didn't tell you the follow-up surprise. Maybe I shouldn't be telling you.
No, shut up. See, you shouldn't be telling me.
Well, now you're going to go and ask her.
No, I already did.
She didn't fail on getting you the wrong boat logo. She just kind of wants to make you think that she didn't get you the right one. She got you.
Oh,
one,
here we go.
Is,
don't be saying that kind of stuff.
Well,
because I'll start crying
know,
on the air now.
Frank, there's a patch that's being produced soon with a boat logo on it. So here
anyway.
You go, Carolyn. I've spoiled it for him. If you didn't tell him yet, she got you two patches too.
But anyway, the thing of it is that I find it ludicrous that you want to buy something and you can't find it. That to me is nonsense.
Oh, Mike, we
that's
can talk
nonsense.
Stories now about merchandise up here in Toronto. It's
but that's
pathetic.
But that's enough about that. I'm just saying I just want to put that in there because you know the it is what it is. You know, unfortunately, team jerseys and you know how often teams nowadays in sports they create a new jersey and then a new jersey and then a new jersey, and in the Argo case they drove by the boat logo and forgot all about it and didn't appreciate it the way maybe it should have been. But that's neither here or there. At the end of the day, we all want to wear our team colors, and, you know, it's important. You know, people like to support their team, Hamilton fans, you know, Argo fans, all of them, Winnipeg, Montreal,
you know what?
Ottawa
now. Not that you brought that up, Frank. Mike, without, you know, saying the Ticats because it's your favorite team, what jersey do you find most appealing visually?
Oh man, I like that. I like that Rider green, and I like that BC orange.
The orange and black, the Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you
sir.
Like the Halloween costume? My Roy.
I agree. I gotta agree with Mike. I like the new one that came out with the claw on their shoulder pads, and it's black and orange. I like
that
logo
too. I like that one. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like any jerseys that at least show the logo on the jersey, okay? Not on your back, above your name, okay? One little tiny little logo. I'm talking about putting it on your sleeve. I like the Ticats, okay? I like Calgary. You know, the Ticats to me are actually the jersey that they have and they got to keep by having the Ticat on the sleeve and having the stripes on the sleeve. It's got to go that way for all of them. It's ridiculous that we all get ripped off if we don't get our patches on our jerseys. You're paying $110 minimum or whatever, and if you got it all patched out and named out, it's about $230. Why aren't you getting the logos that you should be getting? Is, you know, like the Ticats do. Advertise them. Why minimize the imagery? It's so stupid what Reebok did with the jerseys that they launched a year ago. You know, I know they're smaller and the sleeves are shorter and stuff, but to put less logos on, I mean, come on, let's wake up with that. So my favorite, like I said, is the way the Ticat one is set up. You know, I can't love the colors, but I think, Mike, they got the best setup as far as jersey image goes.
You know what? I like that Ticat retro jersey, the red and white they had.
The pajamas? The pajamas?
Oh, man, that was a nice jersey. I like that retro jersey. I don't know what they was called, the Ticats, the Hamilton something.
No, you're talking about the Hamilton Flying Wildcats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The original team.
I thought that jersey was pretty cool. I like that.
You know what? We need to take another break. Are you ready? We're taking
a break.
I'm ready. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, we won't take this break. This takes too long. We don't need to take a long break. Okay, I'll cut it short, but I like
one
to talk
break
to Ticat.
Coming up.
Here it is.
Red Black.
Black and yellow. Yeah. You know what it is. Black and yellow. black and yellow. Yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is. Everything I do it big. Yeah, uh-huh, screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the line, that's done. Yeah. Rapping my style, when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it.
It's a legacy, 65 years in the making, of undefeated seasons and Grey Cup wins. Old records broken and new records made. The players who gave it all on the field to lead our team to victory. Find out what legends will be born this year. Stamps season tickets start at just $139. Get you.
Autumn is hunting season. The catch is gray. The contending captors are blue. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Rough, raw, and ready with the ultimate victory so close they can taste it.
They were here to win.
They hungered for it, and match for match they hunted down.
The play calling has been good by Tom.
The beauty and the beast. Designed for maximum audience participation.
Montreal, you used to be winners. Now you're just whiners. Boo, we are different. We are French. Shut up. You're not even real French anyway, like those guys from Denmark, man. In Vancouver, we're real. Yeah, the championship BC Lions, they're really going to kick some Alouette butt. Poutine sucks. BC rules.
CFL, the rivalry lives on.
What's up, dude?
I love that BC one.
I love it, too. It's so funny.
Yo, man, you guys, it's like the video. Stoner talking, yay.
The video's even funnier because then a bunch of Alouettes come and kick his ass.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I got to see that. It's a terrible stereotype we have of Christopher Jones. He is not a stoner, okay? And he is not. He is not. So let's just get that straight.
I didn't think that. How about you, Mike?
Well, the CFL puts a commercial out with a stoner, you know, image of a BC Lion fan. You know, what do you think that talk was all about, man? It was like about being rad and having some doobies, man. And we were all from BC. Yeah. That's the reason why he came out
well,
like that.
Well, maybe that's what they should give away at halftime.
What, doobies?
One super toke, you know.
Oh, well, that would be a game to go to during the Grey Cup as a complimentary.
Yes, and if the government can make it legal, you know, by then, there's talk that Canada is going to do it as a country.
Wow. You know, if you're educated and you've researched and you've seen what the benefits are, and yes, you know. This is not something that is, oh, my God, what are we doing? Why are we doing this with cannabis? It's a medical.
Dr. Granger, to O.R., Dr. Granger, to O.R.
I'll be there in a minute. Yeah, they should, okay? I mean, let's give it a – I mean, there's so many people out there that are going to jail because of unnecessary – we're wasting tax dollars. Where, you know, and instead of getting tax dollars for something that you can tax and the control and stuff, and people need it. It's doctors prescribe it. Whatever. Don't make it hard for the patient.
Right,
I'm not talking about the kid at the corner store.
We're down to the last 7 minutes or so of the
and
program.
And I'm not talking about the guys going to the concert who should be able to
buy
it from the store.
I hear
you.
Okay, okay,
you know?
Okay. We have enough problems. We have enough problems with CFL suspensions, John.
Let's not stereotype the BC Lion fans. That's all I'm saying. They're not all stoners.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Not all.
Yeah, so it's hard to find commercials about the CFL, but when I find them, I love to play them. I think they're great. I think they're hilarious. And I have a lot of fun putting them out there. So we've discussed what we think should be New Year's resolutions for some teams, some players. While we've been talking or during the small break, did someone else come up with an idea? Did either you guys come up with another idea of a New Year's resolution? Or are you going to force me to think about one?
For the teams or for ourselves? Or
anything. Any other New Year's resolution? Well, I'll tell you what. We're down to 6 minutes. You can give us your personal New Year's resolution.
Personal?
Yeah.
So you go ahead, Mike.
My personal New Year's resolution for 2014 is to make more money than I ever made in my life.
Good.
More money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's going to happen.
I don't want more money. I want the government's money. You can keep
you
Mo's money.
Money.
I don't want Mo. Mo and Jack can keep their money. I want the government's money. But anyway, mine is I don't do resolutions. Johnny, don't roll like that.
Okay.
There you go. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. So now
hope we don't play that.
Well, New Year's resolution, I got to think of one now here. Hang on. Oh, I'm hoping to look at life like 1080p TV with a better resolution for my resolution. I want to make sure that what I see in life is what I want to have in life. And if I don't see what I like, I'll go to the eye doctor and have my eyes checked to make sure that it's not me. And if it's not me, I hope people around the world can show a little more kindness and a little more patience with one else.
Aww.
And wait, hang on a second. I hear the violin. There you go.
Wait for it.
Boombaya.
Wait for it.
Yeah, actually, I hope this year brings brings as much fun as last year brought in as far as my CFL experience. I'm very happy to have met John and have met other CFL fans, you too, Mike. And if I'm lucky enough to double up on what happened this year, I'd be a very happy guy.
I'm getting a little bit clipped here, guys. I really am.
Getting clipped?
That was beautiful.
It was
nice touch. That was nice touch, Frank. I always joke and ditto.
And we're going to start a new game starting this year. Anybody ever play that game or see that thing, Where's Waldo?
I've heard of it. I don't play games
Where's
like
Manasseh?
That, Frank.
We're going to do Where's Manasseh?
Oh!
We're going to bring Manasseh back, whether he likes it or not.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he's busy. Okay, he's working, you know? He's working. Not everybody gets to work at home or sit in their truck and talk, okay, guys? The guy's busy running a business. And he's got to do business. All right? So Minnesota, this time of the year, people don't go outside. They like to go in and eat. And with his restaurant being so busy right now this time of the year, you know, what else are they going to do in Minnesota except for go in and eat, right?
Gotcha.
Well, we don't know because Mike won't tell us what they do. There you go, Mike. There's your open window of opportunity to come in and tell us what you guys do in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I know they won't be watching NFL Viking football. We know that because they're out. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, Manasseh be back.
Anyway, guys, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yeah. We'll probably maybe talk to you on Wednesday. I don't know. But if we don't, listeners, callers, all CFL fans, Frank, Mike, and everybody else out there, Happy New Year, fellas.
Thanks, John.
Happy New Year.
You, Mike,
happy
final
New
word?
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Yeah, final word, Happy New Year.
Okay, my final words are thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Candid Frank Live Show with our two illustrious guests, John Granger and Mike Townsend. And, of course, I'm Frank Stanishi. And if this is the first time you've listened to the show, you know what show you're listening to because you can't accidentally come upon the program. But if you want to spread the word about the show, it's very easy. Candid Frank Live, search anywhere and you'll find it. And in that way, you can tell your friends if they want to listen to CFL Talk, just search Candid Frank Live on the internet and it'll lead you to the program. And a couple of clicks here and there, you'll end up with the live program or tell you when the next one's on. Thanks for tuning in.